Hey everyone, welcome to the Balanced Dietitian podcast. I am your host, Marie-Pierre, and for all my English friends out there, you can call me Marie. I am a registered dietitian with a background in psychology. My passion in life is to help individuals heal their relationship with food and their bodies. If you're tired of dieting and tired of restriction, you are at the right place. I'm hoping that this podcast will help and support you as you heal your own relationship with food and your body, and give you the tools, the resources, and the knowledge that you need to finally ditch the diets. Every week, you will be hearing from guest experts and myself on all things food, body, and mind. I am so happy that you're here, and I cannot wait to support you on your journey. Let's get started. Hello, hello, hello. How are we doing today? I hope you are doing wonderful. The summer is coming to an end. I can't believe how fast the summer went by. It's been insane. Insane how fast it's been going. But I hope you were able to take some time for yourself and disconnect a little bit. And so before we get into today's podcast episode, I just wanted to let you know that we have a webinar coming up, a free class for you on August 26th, 2021 at 12 p.m. Eastern Time. And in this free class, we are going to talk about eating guilt-free without losing control. So it's really for you if you are, you know, wanting to heal your relationship with food in your body, but you're in this space where you want to learn to let go of all the guilt, stop overthinking about food, but you also don't want to maybe lose control around food and swing all the way the other way. A lot of clients that I've had have this experience of when they allow themselves to eat that they feel completely out of control around food. So in this class, you are going to learn how we can eat guilt-free without losing control, how to stop overthinking about food, and how to find that perfect balance for you. We're going to go through the method that I use and all the step-by-step to help you start shifting your relationship to food in your body. So if you are interested in joining this free class, you can go to www.thebalancedpractice.com/signup. So you can sign up for this free class. And I cannot wait to support you through this. And I'm really happy that I'm able to share this class with you. And I hope that I will be able to see you there live. So on that note, let's get into today's episode. So today I had the pleasure of inviting Jackie Silver to come talk to us about disordered eating, body image, and disability. So Jackie is someone who lives with disability, and she works with folks who also have either physical and mental disabilities and helping them through their nutrition care. So today we talked about different challenges that people with disabilities may face when it comes to body image and their relationship with food, being able to increase accessibility in care, as well as just different ways a diet culture will target people with disabilities and the weight stigma in the medical field. So this episode is packed with information, and I hope that you will enjoy it. If you are interested in getting more support, if you're someone who lives with disability and wants more support, you can always go to www.thebalancedpractice.com/services to see how we can support you. On that note, let's get into this episode. Hello, hello. Welcome back to the podcast. Today we have another amazing guest. So today we have Jackie Silver, who's here to talk to us about weight stigma, body image, and disability. And I'm so excited about this conversation. Welcome, Jackie, to the podcast.
Hi, thanks for having me. Very excited to be here.
Yeah, I'm so excited. And we get to meet on the podcast too, which is super cool. So it's really nice to meet you. And I'm really excited about the conversation that we're going to have today. But before we get started to talk about all the things that we're going to talk about, why don't you tell the audience a little bit more about you and what got you to do what you do today?
Yeah, so I'm Jackie, and I currently live in Toronto. I graduated from Ryerson's Masters of Health Science program in Nutrition Communication. I finished my last placement in February 2020. And I have a physical disability. I use a wheelchair to get around long distances, and then I walk with forearm crutches or a walker in my home. And I've always been passionate about bridging those the two worlds together of nutrition, which I'm very passionate about, and accessibility. And during one of my dietetic internships, actually, I did a placement with Special Olympics Ontario, where I ran workshops and cooking classes for athletes with intellectual and developmental disabilities. And it was there that I started to see the huge gap and the huge need for this area of dietetics that was not being filled. And so then in the fall of 2020, I decided I wanted to start my own business. I've always had an entrepreneurial spirit in me. Both my parents run their own businesses. So I said, you know, why not? It's the pandemic. People are changing careers and doing creative things. So I said, I'm gonna do it. So I have started, I launched in December 2020, so still very recently. And I have been building up my niche in working with adults and kids with physical or intellectual disabilities. So quite a few adults and kids who are autistic, I've seen there's a really big need for that. And then physical disabilities too. And I like to raise awareness about this on my Instagram page and on my website, blog.
That is so awesome. And thank you so much for sharing. And talking about raising awareness, can we talk a little bit about, for some of the audience and listeners may not understand, like, what are the different challenges that someone with disabilities may have, whether it's physical or mental disabilities, with nutrition, and how does that impact their relationship to food and to their body?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. I would say there's two sides to it. Like, there's the, I guess, more clinical side, but then there's also the body image side, what I would say. So, like, I guess more of the clinical side, for example, people with a spinal cord injury, they likely have neurogenic bowel. So they might experience a lot of constipation or diarrhea because they don't have full control over their bowel movements or their bladder. So there's ways nutritionally to help with that. They may also be at increased risk for pressure wounds, which there's a really big need for nutrition, role for nutrition in pressure wounds. They also have higher risk for osteoporosis, because if you're using a wheelchair, you know, you're not walking around and building up that maintaining bone density. So those are just a few examples of more the clinical, the clinical side. And then the body image side, I would say, is that the biggest thing is that disabled people are not really represented in media, social media, on TV, in books, like everywhere. So when you're not used to seeing people who look like you, it can be very difficult and hard on your body image.
Yeah. Thank you so much for sharing the two sides of it. Like, the clinical part of it, definitely there's going to be different things happening. And then the body image part, I think, is really, really, really interesting when we start thinking about, when we talk a lot about, like, diet culture and weight stigma, body image, and how it impacts people with disabilities a little bit differently. And, like, the body diversity piece of, we don't really see it, right? We don't see that often, I think, is really important to mention and to talk about, right? Because it can, when we don't see ourselves being represented, we can start internalizing that then there's something wrong with us, right? There's something that is not okay. So thank you so much for mentioning that. And if we can dive deeper around the body image piece, because I think it's going to be really relevant for listeners and people listening to the podcast today. Can we talk a little bit about the weight stigma piece in healthcare? We talked a little bit about that before we press record on how it impacts people with disabilities a little bit differently.
Yes. Well, first of all, I mean, weight stigma in healthcare is a really big problem overall, but I've seen it a lot. Well, I don't know statistics, but I have seen it a lot in the disability community also. You know, I would say just anecdotally, doctors telling people who use wheelchairs like, oh, you need to lose weight, or oh, the reason you're having this issue is because of your weight, or like even I've experienced it myself, to be honest. I've had like, you know, like a few years ago, I had lots of back pain. I think it was from my dietetic internships, like sitting in my wheelchair all day, you know, 40 hours a week. It was just a strain on my back. And one of my doctors said like, oh, if you lose weight, it will help. It will help your back. But like, no, obviously not. I went to a physical therapist and that's what helped my back. So that's just one example. But yeah, I find healthcare professionals will, I don't want to like generalize for everyone, but they will often blame weight as a contributor to people's health, people's medical challenges. Yeah. And it's a big thing also, like for people who use wheelchairs, they're always like, not always, but there is a concern about their weight. Like doctors will say, you know, oh, it's going to be harder for you to transfer in and out of your chair if you gain weight, and watch your weight, you know, that's, yeah.
Yeah. It's like their body is always being put on this, like this emphasis of like, oh, but watch this and do that and be careful with this. And it's like even more, I think, apparent in that situation there too.
Yeah.
You're right. Like in general, like we've talked a lot on this podcast. Weight stigma in healthcare is a huge issue here in Canada and in the US as well. And then when you live in a body that maybe functions differently, it's almost like, oh, now there's something else that's wrong with my body. And it just adds even more like heaviness to it all. So how would you, or what tips would you have for someone maybe to work through some of those struggles in terms of with their disability and the body image issues that maybe are inflicted from the weight stigma that is there in their healthcare?
I mean, in my practice, I do take a weight neutral approach. So I'm always focusing on positive health behaviors, regardless of weight. I don't really care about the weight. And I do tell clients, you know, like, for example, oh, your blood work came back great. You know, you're making all these changes, you're moving your body, you're taking care of yourself. That is what matters. But as an example, if somebody is concerned, you know, if they say, oh, my doctor said I won't be able to transfer in and out of my wheelchair, you know, because of my weight, then I would say, like, you know, focus on, you know, maintaining your strength and, you know, with, you know, healthy movement that feels good for you, that is going to matter a lot more than the weight, you know, going to physical therapy, just take nourishing your body. That is what's going to help much more in the long term and help you stay functional and independent. And also another thing that I like, that I've spoken about this quite a few times on my Instagram, is that our bodies have gone through so much trauma and stress, you know, maybe from surgeries or car accidents, you know, getting medical diagnoses. Like, it is incredible what our bodies have done for us. Incredible, you know, that somebody, for example, survived a serious car accident, had back surgery, and they're, you know, living their life. Like, that is incredible. That is something to treat your body. That is a reason alone to treat your body like a temple, you know, like, you know, people, I mean, in general, everyone's bodies are amazing what they do for us. But if you have a disability and you've gone through that added stress or trauma or injury, surgery, interventions, treatments, medications, you know, those additional things, like, that is, like, I think incredible. Our bodies are incredible for going through that, and we need to treat them like a temple.
So I have a question for you based on that, because oftentimes when we think of like the body image journey and like healing your body image and working on that, we use a lot of terms like gratitude, right? And we use often words like focus on functionality over appearance and things like that. But what would you say to people who live with disability and maybe are like angry at their body, or maybe are just like upset that their body is actually not as functional as they would want it to be, or that they're not able to do things that they once were able to do? Like, how can we pass over that hurdle? And I know, like, not just listening to the podcast will get through that, because this is a really loaded question. But what would you say to someone who's going through that right now?
Okay, well, for that, I would say, like, honestly, just to see your body as something neutral. Like, you don't have to see it as, you know, if you're angry at your body or at what you've been through, you don't need to love your body. You don't need to, you know, you don't need to be at that stage right now. Just thinking of it in neutral terms instead of negative terms is a lot better, and going to be a lot better for your mental health, you know, like, oh, okay, I have a scar on my belly. Okay, it's just a scar, you know, instead of, oh, it's an ugly scar. Like, oh, or like, oh, my legs, they look so skinny because all the muscles have atrophied, you know, from using a wheelchair. Oh, they look so bad, you know, maybe shifting that to like, okay, I have legs, you know, I have legs. If you think that, these are just like common things that I hear. If you think that your arms are super big and muscular because you're pushing yourself in your wheelchair, you know, all the time, so that's naturally what might happen. And maybe some people won't like that about their body. They can say like, okay, you know what? I have arms. They propel me. They help me move around and be independent. You know, shifting that focus a little bit. Yeah. But also I would say, I think there are many disabled people who don't really think like, oh, I wish I could do that. Oh, you know, like a lot of them are actually content with how they are. Like, yeah, so I would not, I mean, I'm not saying that you were, but I wouldn't assume that everyone who has, yeah, a disability is unhappy with how their body is.
Oh, 100%. And I totally, totally agree with you. I just find this piece interesting with the functionality, because I have a few clients who are disabled, and when they hear like, well, just focus on what your body can do, and like, then they feel that sense of grief of, well, this piece is still hard for me to kind of accept, right? And there's, I think that with body image in general, we often have this piece of grief of, you know, the expectations that we put on our body. And then sometimes when you are disabled, there can be that extra grief of what your body may have been able to do, right? And that can also be part of this process as well, the body grieving of, you know. And I like the fact where you're like, and reshifting of like, in my body here now, like, what about my body here now? How can I leave room for this body here?
Yeah, in more neutral terms than positive, because maybe thinking about it positively is not so realistic.
Right.
Yeah, at this time,
body positive movement. Like, sometimes we're just not there, and just trying to label it with like glitter does not really help. It's not so helpful. So can we just bring it back to like, this is my body. There's a dietitian on Instagram that uses the term like my earth suit. Like, this is just my earth suit. This is how I am in this world to be able to move around, and that is what it is, and that's okay too. I'd love to talk to you about a little bit more about like the diet culture and how it plays a role in ableism as well, and how it's almost like this whole world is centered towards that. And I'd love for you to talk to us about, well, what is, first of all, ableism for people who've never heard that term, and how does it show up in our current culture, more precisely diet culture?
Yeah. So ableism is, trying to think the best way to describe this, but basically the underlying belief that being able-bodied is superior and is better than not being able-bodied. And so all our society, you know, the fact that there are, if a building has stairs but no elevator, that's an example of ableism. You know, the people who made that building assume that everyone can walk up the stairs, and that there's something wrong with you if you can't, you know? Does that make sense?
Yeah, 100%. I think that's a really great way to describe it, like discrimination or like a prejudice against people with disabilities or in favor of people who are able-bodied.
Yeah, that's the superior way to be in this world. Okay, and the second part of your question was how does that tie into diet culture? I mean, yeah, diet culture, not only does it idealize the thin body, but it also idealizes the able-bodied body, like the a body that doesn't have medical conditions or health challenges. And so, I mean, when in diet culture, have you ever seen a disabled person? Like, never. You know, even like in the body positive movement, I often don't see disabled people either represented there, to be honest. So yeah, I mean, diet culture, I would say, just helps to perpetuate this belief that being able-bodied is a superior way to be. And you don't see yourself represented in it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it's like always this idea that like with diet culture, it's like the white, thin, cisgendered woman is the ideal and everything outside of that is not okay. Right. And then it applies to a bunch of different minorities, but with disability as well, where you're like, well, I'm never really represented. And then it's always about like the more that you can do and being thin and doing all of these things that just continue to make us feel like we're just not adequate in the world that we live in.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah.
And in your experience, have you found that because of this intersection of ableism and diet culture that people who have disabilities may be more at risk of developing eating disorder and disordered eating?
That's a good question. I don't have an answer to that, to be honest. I wonder if there are even research studies on it. I think it would be hard to find studies on it, to be honest. There might, I doubt there would be many studies on that topic. Yeah, that's a really good question. I honestly don't know.
Yeah, I do wonder, just based on the fact that it's just another way that we feel like we're inadequate, right? And like, we know that a lot of minorities are more at risk of developing any type of disordered eating. And in my practice, I definitely see it with the people that we support, right? When there's this idea of like, well, if I move less, my body needs less, I need to restrict. And then this idea too of, again, like the thin ideal and like wanting our body to look different, right? I've had clients say things like, well, my body's disabled, but at least if I can be thin, right? It's like this whole idea again of like, well, at least if I can do this part right. And it's this really yucky way that diet culture just gets in the way.
And
we've definitely seen quite a lot.
Yeah, that makes sense.
All right. So how can we make nutrition more accessible to all? What tips would you have for maybe other providers or for people in general?
So, okay. There's the piece about making your, I would say, marketing more accessible, like social media posts. You know, I always encourage people to include images of people with disabilities in your social media posts. I barely ever see this, you know, making a conscious effort to do that. Also, you know, when you're speaking on your Instagram stories, using captions so that if somebody is deaf, they can read the captions. Using image descriptions or video descriptions for your Instagram posts or reels or, IGTVs. Using simple fonts that are easy to read, you know, none of these fancy scripted fonts that are very difficult to read, and use either a dark font on a light background or a light font on a dark background so that it's visible. Also in your stories too, when you're doing captions, to make sure that it's visible. So there's accessibility tips like that. Also making handouts more accessible. So for my clients, who are autistic, who might have challenges reading. I've made handouts that have lots of pictures for them, so that if they can't read, they can understand the photos. So there's ways to add accessibility there. More education on nutritional implications of different conditions. You know, like, I didn't learn any of this in my training. I had to teach myself everything since graduating because, you know, we never learned about nutrition for multiple sclerosis or spinal cord injuries or Parkinson's or spina bifida or cerebral palsy or autism or ADHD. So more education on knowing what to look out for in these populations. Yeah, I would say also to shift the focus away from weight, because they likely are used to, you know, they've heard it from their doctors, from who knows, other healthcare professionals. It's been drilled into them from day one, like, oh, you got to keep your weight down, you know, so you can transfer better or so that your joints don't hurt. So shifting the focus away from that and more towards making sustainable, positive health behavior changes, and that you can improve your health with those.
Oh, I love every tip that you've said there. Like, I'm just like nodding my head the whole time. I'm like, that is so cool. And so cool for us to take into consideration too, of like how we can make our posts more accessible in general, I think is really cool. And always ending with the weight stigma piece of like, can we just all be weight inclusive? Can we just stop shaming people for their weight? Like, can that be a thing moving forward? That would be wonderful. All right. Last question that I have for you is, any tips that you want to leave the audience with in order to have a better relationship to food, to their body? Anything that you found helpful with your clients that you want to leave the audience with?
Oh, yeah. There's like, I feel like there's a lot of points that you could cover with this question, but I would say, like I had said before, you know, shifting the focus from negative thoughts about your body to more neutral thoughts, having self-compassion, you know, like if you, I don't know, missed a workout for a day, you know, telling yourself like, you know what, like I was exhausted today. Like today was a tiring day for me, or today I had a lot more pain than I normally do today. Like, it's okay. I am, you know, my body is working extra hard. I'm taking care of my body. Like, it's okay that I couldn't do everything today, you know, with the limited energy and the pain that I had, or, you know, just really having that self-compassion for yourself. And I would also say that it's important to remind yourself that, you know, you're not defined by your medical condition. Society, you know, like diet culture, that does not, I'm trying to think of the best way to put this in words. diet culture does not define how your body should be. Okay, then maybe that didn't make sense.
No, it makes total sense. Like, it's this idea that like the social standards that is there right now does not mean that your body needs to fit in that, right? Like, we're not meant to fit in this mold that diet culture has created.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And yeah, to remind yourself of that, and that, that it's okay to have these thoughts. I mean, especially when you don't see yourself represented in very many places at all, like it's okay. You know, like I think about it too, like all the TV shows I watch, has there ever been an actor who's disabled in them? Like, no, you know, so we're not seen, we're not really included, we're not represented. So it makes sense to struggle with your body.
Yeah. Thank you so much for sharing. So before we get to our last fun questions, can you let us know where people can find you and what are your future plans?
Yeah, so people can find me on Instagram at Accessible Wellness. I spread a lot of awareness about nutrition and disability on there. You can also find me on my website, jackiesilvernutrition.com. I post recipes and blog posts regularly that are tailored to the disability community. Yeah, those are the two biggest, best places to find me. Yeah, and I hope to continue spreading awareness about this issue and giving access to disabled people to be able to take care of their health and feel seen and included.
That's amazing. Thank you so much for being there. All the information will be posted in the show notes so you guys can go and access all her good stuff. So let's finish off with our fun questions. The first one being, what is your favorite food?
Oh, I have a lot. I would say sushi. Ooh. I love sushi.
Yes. Love that. That's definitely my favorite too. If you could have one superpower, what would it be?
To get rid of ableism.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah.
What is your favorite way to self-care?
Exercise and moving my body. That feels so good for my body and my mobility and strength.
I love that. And then last question for you, because this is the Balanced Dietitian podcast. What does balance mean to you?
Okay. Balance means prioritizing yourself and your health, while also making the time to support others.
Ooh, I love that. I love that. Jackie, thank you so much for being on the show. Thank you for sharing with all of us. It was a really great conversation. So thank you for your time.
Thanks for having me.
All right, my friend, I hope that you enjoyed this episode. Let me know, what were your takeaways from this one? I think this is a really important conversation to start bringing more awareness on how there's different levels of discriminations, right? And the ableism in our society and how that impacts everyone, right? Oftentimes when we think of system of oppressions, it doesn't just oppress the people that don't fit the criteria, but really everyone, right? That we are so much more than our body, but we're also much more than how our body functions, right? And so on that note, I hope that this podcast episode was helpful for you. And don't forget to sign up for the free webinar. So we are going to have a free webinar again Thursday, August 26th at 12 p.m. Eastern time. And I really hope I get to see you there. On that note, have a great day and we'll catch you in the next episode.